What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
Welcome to another tale from George's Pocketbook. George is a frontline UK response officer dedicated to fighting crime, resolving family disputes in minutes that have taken years to break down, and getting in the faces of the social underclass. All events are real, and names and places have been changed to protect the innocent, not so innocent, and plain stupid.
George was in an extremely good mood. On the way to work, he'd stopped at the post office to collect a package that he'd been waiting for from Amazon. He got changed in the locker room in record time and could hardly wait for parade to be over so that he could carry his prize into the canteen, where he carefully opened the heavy cardboard packaging. After taking a sip of his coffee to calm his nerves, he lifted the rare and currently out-of-print copy of a hardback book and examined the cover. The title proclaimed boldly, How to Become a Sex God, with the subtitle, The Secrets of Being Irresistible to Women, printed in tight lettering beneath it. The image of a broadly smiling man with an impossible mop of white hair and the author's name Morgan Wright dominated the remaining space on the cover. George held his breath as he handled the book with reverence and slowly opened the front cover to see the chapter list. He chuckled as he read, Chapter 1. You need an English accent. At that moment, his reverie was interrupted by the sound of his personal radio squawking into life and the control room assigning him to report a possible shed burglary. George acknowledged the call and collected his probationer on the way to the backyard, where their car was waiting for them. On the journey to the call, George's probationer sat nervously fidgeting, wondering why his driver seemed to be so distracted and didn't appear to be trying to avoid the fallen branches in their path. He had no idea that George's mind was still on the book. The previous 24 hours had seen some of the heaviest storms seen in that part of the country for some years, and gale force winds had left debris everywhere, including the roads. Eventually they arrived at the address they had been sent to, and George mercifully began to pay attention to his surroundings. After being met at the door by the householder, they asked him to explain what had happened. They were led through the house into the rear garden, where a large garden shed stood at the far end, with a pile of neatly cut timber stacked next to it. Oddly, the shed had no roof. "It's unbelievable," exclaimed the informant. "These animals will steal anything these days." "Apparently your shed was burgled, sir. Can you tell me what happened?" asked George. "Well, the last time I checked it was a couple of days ago, and everything was fine. Nothing missing or anything. I came out this morning and found it stolen. Gone." "What has actually been taken from the shed, sir?" asked George. The man looked blankly at George. "Why, the roof, of course. Can't you see? They've broken into my garden and stolen the roof off my shed. What sort of person does that? To add insult to injury, they left two huge wooden panels in my garden. Made a right mess it did. It took me forever to cut it all up and pile it up there." George stepped closer to the neat stack of timber that the man was indicating and prodded it with his boot. He looked thoughtful for a moment and then turned to the caller. "Can you tell me, was the roof constructed from tongue and groove planking with a dark grey roofing felt covering it?" "Yes, officer. How did you know that?" "Well, it's my professional opinion, sir, that there has been no offence committed here. In fact, I think this is a clear case of storm damage. All that wood that you cut and gathered up still has the roofing felt attached to it. You've made a very impressive stack of spare timber out of your own roof that was torn off your shed during the storms."